supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Oh, this is Bad Play Style. We're a video game book club podcast wherein we talk about the video game we played this week.
NSFW?
Yeah, we swear a lot. And we're going to fucking spoil the shit out of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about secrets?
Yeah, we're going to ruin all the secrets.
Such as?
Such as, Bastil is really your mom.
I said dad.
Doesn't matter.
Straight?
I'm ready.
Not what I meant.
I'm ready.
Welcome to Bad Snow Style.
Bad Snow Style.
Bad Play Style.
Hey.
I'm Matt.
I'm Owen.
I'm still Keenan.
Damn! Yeah. Going strong on the having our normal names.
Until we're not. Yeah. Until I'm not.
Well, okay, you know, but we can revisit that drawing board if we go 10 episodes.
I'll admit, there was a point I was frustrated with a game recently where I almost let go because I knew it was destined.
See, that's a point against the whole system. Uh-huh. Right there. It's the system not working as intended.
Yeah. I'll admit, it crossed my mind, like, I don't have to finish it.
Was that with Hellblade?
I think it was a specific portion that I got through and I felt better about, but yeah. Yeah.
Was it the part where you have no eyeballs?
No, that one okay.
That was fine.
There was definitely a part when I was playing Hellblade where I thought to myself, Keenan has 1 point in stats. So if I don't finish this game, he still wins the chicken cup.
There were multiple things I had to look up and I felt better after looking it up, but I was trying not to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you should probably just experience the game,
right? Yeah, that's anyway, what I tried to do.
We played... We played New Vegas a while ago, and that was a while ago.
Some fatigue.
And then we played Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, and then...
And then we got snowed in right before we were going
to... And then we got snowed in.
For a week and a half.
It was dangerous to go to...
Anywhere.
Recording location.
Well, especially my place.
Yeah, because Owen lives at the top of one of the 12 hills in Seattle.
All sites were compromised.
Yeah.
The Gamma site, the Delta site, they were all compromised.
Oh, and what Legos are you playing with right now?
I got some classic Space Astronaut.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I never knew they made pink ones.
The pink one's new. The new Lego movie just came out, which I haven't seen.
Okay.
But the classic Space Astronauts make an appearance.
Sick.
And so they released a set where it's just four classic Space Astronauts in a little space scooter and a space truck.
Sick.
I bought two of them because I wanted all the classic astronauts.
Hell yeah.
And so there's a pink one.
Astronauts.
Yeah, they added one to the classic space canon. They've added a couple over the years. When they released the exosuit a few years ago, there's a green one.
Mm, okay.
And one of the collectible minifigure series is a... They do mascot suits, like a dude in a banana suit or a dude in a corn suit, like a mascot. And one of the mascot suits they've done is a... corny, fake-looking rocket ship.
Okay.
But the torso that's under the mascot costume piece is a gray classic space logo.
Sick.
So if you go find yourself a gray helmet and put some gray legs on it, you have a gray classic space astronaut. So you can have, red, blue, yellow, black, white, pink, green.
You basically have the Power Rangers.
More than the Power Rangers. It's not a gray ranger.
It should be.
I think there might have been at one point.
There probably is in one of those 9 million shows. Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting deep lore on Legos right now.
Yeah, Power Rangers too. Yeah,
Power Rangers too.
Fuck.
Owen, did you remember what stupid thing you did? Or no, we didn't really.
No, I think it's just that I booted up Star Trek Timelines with no intention to play it, just so I could empty my inbox so the items that are contained in there wouldn't expire. Even though I have no intention
of coming
back to revisit.
But you were doing some upkeep.
Yeah, but I for some reason one evening felt the desire to boot up the game and.
You needed that instant dopamine hit opening your mail.
Yeah, do that very bare minimum level of upkeep.
Yeah, that's happened to me 3 or 4 times in the last month. I've booted up Warframe, and I've stood on my ship, and I've sort of, checked all the things.
Yeah.
I had a letter, and I opened the letter, and the letter was, from the ship's computer, and the ship's computer was, your dog almost died, so I put it in freezer. And I was like, thanks.
Thanks, man.
I have literally no desire to play any part of this game right now, which is like, go play something else, right? So, yeah, that happened. Yeah. Keenan.
Yeah.
Talk about Diablo 3.
Talk about... We played... Oh, man. There was a point about a week after Fallout New Vegas where we all said, we should probably play our video game for our podcast, huh? And then we kept playing Diablo 3.
Yeah. Played a lot of that game.
Diablo 3... I think Owen, you caught the initial itch.
Well, so, no, every January they do the Darkening of Tristram.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
Where they do that cool, I think I talked about it in the New Vegas episode, the Darkening of Tristram.
Yeah, you did.
But I was the one that got, apparently, everybody to start playing it again. Because, like, Steven, Brian, you two.
Well, I think it was the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. The season kicked in, and we saw our friends playing.
Yeah,
like,
but it's
yeah,
the 16th season. We didn't jump in for, like, the last 10 seasons.
No. But it was like one of us was playing it in a house and was like, yo, I could do that.
Yeah.
And that kind of trickled out.
Yeah. And damn.
Yeah. We hit that game hard for like 2 weeks.
And I hate it because I still to this day feel that, like, in a lot of ways, it's a mediocre or disappointing game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put just obscene amounts of time into it that it has a very good vegetative video game.
It's got a formula, man. And it just goes.
I think I don't even like most of the classes in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see myself ever making a wizard or a demon hunter or... What else is there?
Yo, that demon hunter build's stupid, though. I don't have to think at all.
Or the monk. Like, I don't especially like their take on the monk for the Diablo universe. Doesn't really do anything for me. I don't like the Witch Doctor, and I've played a lot of the... Like, I've played a fair bit of the Witch Doctor, but...
So my problem with the Diablo 3 classes is I like them all better in Heroes of the Storm. I like all of them better.
Here's the Storm Necromancer sucks.
Yeah, he
and the Necromancer in Diablo 2 and 3 rules.
But he sucked on release. He's actually really good. He's been pretty good for the last 9 months.
Okay, but he's a poison and bone Necromancer, which is the lamest kind of Necromancer.
Sucked on release.
He's not a summoning Necromancer.
Really good status. Sucked on arrival. Got better later.
Like, he uses what is, like, canonically one of the worst spells in Diablo 2. He uses Poison Dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. I got no respect
for
that.
He's got those sides.
Yeah.
He's got those sides. Remember all the not cool Necromancer abilities? We put those on him.
Yeah. So, I have nothing but disappointment in Zul.
To be fair, Zul would break the game if he did anything else.
I mean, they have, Heroes and Heroes of the Storm that summon dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Asmodan's got his crew.
Yeah.
Like, you could make a summoning necromancer.
No, they did, because every time he kills a creep, he gets a skeleton.
Yeah, but, like, he's all...
I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, because he does the same thing as Asmodan. He helps with pushes with his summons. Mm. It does the exact same thing. It just doesn't feel good, for whatever reason, to you. Feels fine to me, but yeah, that's whatever.
We played a shitload of Diablo, though. There's not really much to say beyond that.
Speaking of which, R.I.P. Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah, it's like fucking dead.
Yeah, like massive layoffs at Blizzard, and they like gutted their esports division.
Activision Blizzard doesn't have an esports division anymore. I've been retweeting everyone I've seen who was like, yo, I survived it by not working there anymore. And I'm like, cool, retweet. Like... Help them get a job with the only reach I have. Retweet. Like, that's all I got.
Yeah. I'm
trying to help.
All right.
Cool.
Activision.
We did great this year. Fires 8% of people.
Yeah. It's whatever.
Record year. Fires 8% of people. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. It sucks. I found a... I've been playing... A lot of things. Actually, it took me an entire day of modding, but there's this mod pack for Skyrim called Ultimate Skyrim that sort of slows the game down and brings a lot of elements more in line with the way Morrowind handled them. And it turns out that actually having to earn things in Skyrim, like rewards and beating things and killing stuff, makes that game like 50 times more fun than it was initially, and like deepens my assertion that Bethesda is fucking terrible at like everything they touch. So
So basically, you downloaded like 400 mods that completely retuned the game.
Yeah.
And then I watched you play it for like 2.5 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Like, like this isn't like a, yeah, it's okay. Like, no, Matt was in.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, like, there's, one of my favorite mods is the one where if you are swinging, you can't change your direction like you normally can in the game. It makes the combat feel a lot weightier than the completely retuned damage. So, like, if you get hit by a two-handed weapon and you're not blocking and you're not an incredible beef tank, you're probably dead. yeah. It makes the, like, there's a lot of changed spells and, like, the way spells work is different.
So have you not been playing it as a roguelike at all?
I haven't turned on the permadeath feature because, like, playing that game in the beginning is really fucking hard.
Sure.
And... Yeah.
I was sort of curious, because you mentioned that it had a permadeath.
Yeah, that was...
And that, that you hadn't been using it at first to get comfortable, but then, like, from your talk so far, I figured it, it kind of sounds like...
Yeah, because I got comfortable with more of the stuff, but I still, like, I don't know what to shoot for, as far as, like, what I would do if I dropped into any individual character. But, yeah, I think, like, if I go back to... Ultimate Skyrim, I might turn that feature on.
Well, and just like
to see what's what, but like
if it changes the game that fundamentally, I can understand like wanting to understand that first.
But like at the same time, like it's pretty frustrating to be walking along a road and have a spider see you, and you can't see the spider, and the spider shoots you with poison, which makes your vision turn triple. Ooh. You can't react in any way.
Then you're being attacked by three spiders.
And you're, yeah, and you're slowed, and then the spider goes up to you and one-shots you. And it's like, that's not, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I would break my computer, maybe. So, you know, maybe we'll try that at some other point in the future, but I don't know. Owen?
Cool. I've been playing Heat Signature.
Okay.
I reinstalled Heat Signature, and...
Tell us about the new Heat Signature.
They added a ton of enemies to that game.
Part of it is you were convincing enemy of the show, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. So I was just playing.
Okay.
And then, like, I was talking to him on Discord one time. I was like, dude, you would fucking love this game. And so I bought it. Like, it happened to also be on sale at that time. It was, like, $5. So I was like, and so I just gave it to him. Which nice. Is actually a pretty compelling way to, or a very effective way to get Sean to play a game. Don't tell him about the game. Just give it to him. Like, he played the shit out of that hentai Minesweeper game that Fox gave him.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, Fox gifted Sean this Minesweeper game where you clear the mines to reveal naked anime girls. And Sean, on a Friday evening, when we were all in the Discord after playing PUBG for a few hours, and we'd had a few beers, Sean just, like, booted it up and just started playing it and critiquing the artwork. Cause
you just leave it near him.
Because Sean went to art school and is something of a snob about it. But anyway, so I gave him Heat Signature, and he's been playing that, too. He tried to play it all in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was Hotline Miami. He didn't.
I remember doing that.
He didn't realize you could pause it, and he like messaged me. He's like, "Owen, what is this game? I think I hate this game."
He's like, "Are you pausing it?"
Yeah.
Oh shit!
But they had all these cool new enemies, and like, they're super powerful, and seem like they would ruin the game. And then like, once you play the game for a while, they're like, they're actually very manageable, but make the game much more complex and interesting.
Neat. Yeah, the fact that there's a bunch of dudes that show up when the alarm hits. A bunch of different types of dudes that, like,
yeah, well,
end up on the ship
that
when you
can
start some
happen.
Shit.
When you're looking at the missions, it'll say, like, hey, this ship has a contract, a defender contract, and that means if the alarm trips, this enemy type defenders will show up.
Yeah.
Or...
Which, like, I think that was probably the weakest point of the game before, was, yeah, I don't fucking care about this alarm, I'm gonna go deal with it. Like,
yeah, especially once you take out the captain.
Yeah. Find enough slipstreams and teleporters, but care how long the alarm was.
Yeah, so I finished out the campaign on the game, like, two more times now.
How many times have you beaten Keith Signature?
It's like
four or five times,
something like that. I mean, I don't really, care about the linearity of the campaign. I mostly just want to boot it up and just do Heat Signature missions, and then occasionally the game tells me, like, oh, you liberated all the strongholds, and it's like, okay, fuck it, start it over.
I'm still not done. Here's another quarter. Like,
yeah. So,
game's got a really good flow.
Yeah, been playing Heat Signature.
There's a really good episode about that.
Yeah,
should listen to our heat signature episode. If the game I just described sounds interesting to you.
It's very good.
I played a little Pokemon Let's Go Eevee online and got, like, fucking bodied by people. People on the internet who, like, actually play Pokemon games competitively. You know, like, the game is played in a very different way than when you just, like, are playing against the AI.
Yeah, as soon as someone says the word Stealth Rocks, I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah. And so, like, I kind of knew that I was out of my depth, but, like...
I don't know what that means.
I wanted to give it a whirl. And yeah, got bodied.
I don't know what Stealth Rocks means.
It's there's this whole like meta of placing things around the battlefield that the game like they added in like Gen 5 or 6 or something.
Stealth Rocks is, I think, is actually like a really good thing to add to the game because playing Pokemon online mostly consists of you putting out a Pokemon, them putting out a Pokemon, you reactively switching your Pokemon so that your type advantage, right. And then they switch so that their type advantage, and what Stealth Rocks does is, if you've used it, and in Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, there's no way to get rid of Stealth Rocks once they've been put on the field.
Okay.
It makes it so every time a Pokemon enters the battlefield, it takes damage, and so it disincentivizes just infinitely reactively type switching against your opponent. And so it's a good thing, but it's...
It's there for a reason, but also that implies a higher level of play than I care to do.
So it's like one of the better things to have happened to Pokemon's like competitive online play, but also like Pokemon's competitive online play is extremely not my thing.
People got deep on that, and I wasn't there for it.
A lot of how I failed completely was that my Machamp just knows a lot of really good fighting moves and like nothing else. And I ended up in a matchup where like I was down to my last guy and I was facing off against a ghost Pokemon. So like I literally can't do
damage. Can't fight a ghost.
Yeah. Like
you can't do it.
Fighting damage is times zero multiplier on ghosts. You do zero damage. So,
you can't body slam that ghost hard enough, man.
Yeah. So that's what I've been playing.
You gotta reach level 8.
Okay.
Or maybe it's 4. I'm not sure.
What?
Monks can punch ghosts in D&D.
Oh, okay.
Once their hands count as magic weapons.
Oh, yeah.
They can bypass the mischance on ghosts and just punch them.
That's cool.
You suplex ghosts. Mm-hmm. Hey, so Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice was a grim, dark game that we played while at the same time playing Diablo 3, which is a grim, dark game in a much different way.
They're both filled with no hope, but in totally different ways.
I think... Diablo has left Grimdark. Like I feel like they it's pretty fucking cartoony. Yeah. Where it's so silly that
you told me a Diablo Saturday morning cartoon was coming out, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. Like
I mean the original premise is like descend into madness.
Yeah.
Slowly. And then the Diablo 3 is like, how many mobs can we put on the screen?
Rakanishu was cool, right?
Yeah. Purple lasers. You know, like
So many lasers in Diablo 3.
Yeah. That necklace that makes you immune to lasers is fucking cool. Hey guys.
Hellblade. Matt, do you want to like summarize Hellblade more?
Sure.
Like
so,
a contextual summary?
Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice is a character action game
made by Platinum?
Made by Ninja
Theory. Ninja Theory. Yeah, sorry.
This game is not like they're in the same loud bucket. Enough to be made by Platinum.
Yeah, you're right.
That's made by Ninja Theory, and it's really cool because they made it without a publisher, and they sold it for less than $60. And then it's about schizophrenia and trauma and
Picts.
Love. And Orkney.
Yeah. You're picked. You're dealing with fucking Viking invasion shit while dealing with your own psychosis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your darkness.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes place in like the 12th century or something like that. Or
like, it's like 900.
Yeah, so the Viking Golden Age was 900. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's from Orkney, and the Vikings definitely showed up and fucked some shit up.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with Norse gods the whole time. Really low-level Norse gods the whole time.
Hela's pretty powerful.
Yeah, but, like, that's...
Yeah.
The last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like... Cool.
Do you ever think about how it's really weird that you're facing off against, like, not your gods?
Yeah, it's, like, other people's gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Like, makes the narrator narrator make more sense because he's like explaining all this shit to
you. And it gives the narrator, it gives the game a reason to explain itself to the player. But it's like something I was thinking about, like, the whole time I was playing through the game. It's like, all right, so she's from Orkney. It's not like a lot of trees on Orkney, like, they made their homes out of like stone and things like that. And like, in all these environments you're going through, they're filled with trees. And at first that kind of bothered me. And it's like, wait, this is like a depiction of like the Norse underworld.
Right. Yeah.
So this would be just like,
there would be trees.
Aside from the fact that it's like this very strange and hellish place, it's also just like, even just like the fundamentals of what this whole environment's made out of
are completely foreign to this character anyway. Yeah.
Like the enormous like piles of wrecked boats and forests and things like that.
Yeah. And like buildings that aren't made out of scavenged material.
Yeah.
I guess it really is like, I hadn't really picked up on the like super stranger in a strange land thing that's going on there, because you're like invading another cultural pantheon.
And they don't really like play it for much. You know, you don't get Senua being like, whoa.
It's like if Kratos
got
like
other things to deal
it's
with.
Like if Kratos dealt with his problems instead of was just, I'm mad the whole time.
So if you don't know, the entire time you're playing there are voices in your head speaking to you. And occasionally there are visual hallucinations, and then there's sort of a vague sense that the entire world is a metaphor, because...
Yeah, there's some mechanics that are, like, definitely brought on by your psychosis.
Right, and that, like, things that are happening aren't quite real.
I think definitely. The audio engine in this game does all of that a lot of favors, I think. The way the sounds are layered, and I played the game in my headphones the whole time, because at
Did
the beginning
you play with headphones on.
At the beginning, one of the messages it says, along with like a "Hey, trigger warning, fucking heavy psychological shit," is there's also like a "Yo, you should play this in headphones because the 3D sound like does some stuff."
Yeah, I guess it's also, we should say, we're going to talk about a lot of mental illness things.
Yeah, I mean, if
it's
you
a
don't,
major
if
theme of this game.
If you're, we should say that as, along with the spoiler warning. This game deals with a lot of the themes of mental illness and generational trauma and personal trauma, and death and dismemberment and So we're going to talk about those things. I hope that we handle it well. Tell us if we don't. You can contact us at
badplaystyle@gmail.com.
See, I love
at badplaystyle on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know. So I played this game in the VR edition,
okay,
which was fucking intense. I couldn't play it for more than like an hour at a time, until I got rolling right at the end.
Okay,
and I really wanted to finish the game towards the end after I had gotten through, and I was actually climbing the tower at the end, I was like, I'm rolling, let's do it.
I feel like...
After I got Graham, actually, that was when I...
I feel like I had the right amount of removal by not playing it in VR, that, like, seeing you do that was kind of like, oh,
it was intense, man.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, this game was already, like, pretty...
Yeah, it was already, like, hefty in a way that I was like, I don't know if I could plug into this. Like,
take naps between sessions.
I gave it a wide berth between the couple of sets. I think I played it in three sessions.
Yeah.
I think
mine was like three or four or something.
A full
like
day in between each one. Like, that was a game I had to strap my armor on for to play.
Yeah, it was a lot. We'll talk about that. Like, why? What specifically do you think being good in a final?
It's hard to listen to Senua whimper.
Oh, yeah.
And groan for like hours at a time.
Yeah.
So like, didn't this game get a BAFTA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's well deserved on the acting side.
It's the best game I've ever hated. I found it an absolute slog to play.
Right.
Like it's a very skillfully put together game.
Yeah.
But like I don't know. Every environment you're in this game is like these bespoke environments, you know, there's no obvious tiles that are snapped together. It's all this like very nicely handmade world, but it also doesn't have a very cohesive visual language for like what terrain can be traversed and like what I can and can't walk around and where I'm going to get snagged. And so I found it very aggravating when there was big environmental puzzles often. Like, there's the part where you're in Valravn's land of tricky annuluses, and I liked those puzzles
But getting around
the way the game lingually,
it has a very sparse visual language that I found very frustrating. No,
I never ran into that problem. I'd be interested to hear more examples of when you ran into that besides.
I feel like every mechanic like that until I got it was really frustrating. And then when I got it and it didn't go deeper, I got frustrated on a different level.
Let me ask you guys a question. Did you do Cert or Valrobin first?
I did Cert
first. I did Cert first. As well. So, yeah. All the... Yeah, it was weird.
But all those mechanics are, like, just not explained enough that...
So
like the, hitting my head against them...
The fundamental, like, thing of, like Valrobin's looking to form the sigil out of all the glowing shit in the air, like, that immediately made sense to me, and I like it. It's the act of traversing the environment so that I can get the view to,
right.
to line it
traversing
up.
The environment to remove or add things to the environment through the portals to be able to...
Yeah, yeah. Like, I immediately got the, like, look through a portal, step through a portal,
yeah.
look this way and look in that. But, like, and also, like, constantly in this game, I felt like I was being faced with, like, puzzles where... I have that aha, and I figured it out, and it takes me, like, another minute and a half of, like, trudging around the map to, like, trigger
to actually execute it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it feel very arduous and tedious to get through these things.
Part of me wonders if that's by design, because of the subject matter.
Yeah, that was kind of my impression on that one, as far, because I ran into that with the light puzzles, is that the game is supposed to be frustrating, like, most of the time.
I disliked it while playing the game, and now that I'm removed from it, I understand.
I'm not saying
more.
Like your feelings are invalid.
Yeah, no, like I'm with you that stuff sucked. Like, but I'm wondering if that's if this is a function of this. Like when Owen and I barely talked about it, he said the thing he just said about it's the best game he's ever hated playing. Mm. And I said it's a very, very good B game, is what I said. And that's gonna get taken the wrong way, but, like, we used to have games that were, like, high quality in certain ways and then had very simple mechanics. And I feel like this is one of those games.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's got two fucking things.
This game is an Unreal 4 tech demo of a visual. Yeah,
there's like four underlying mechanics of, like, everything
yeah, right.
you do.
It's like, it's the fights and the find the hidden object.
Right.
Like, the, yeah.
It's a hidden object game, and, like, there's, like, minor action things, like the balance beam thing
yeah.
that you do sometimes.
Right.
And, like...
Right, and all of it is like, three quarters baked in this mm-hmm. way that, like, it functions within the game, and it gets you where you need to go, but it also, like, never goes deeper into complexity on itself. Like, you literally get three of everything, right?
Yeah,
like, by way of the pacing of the game. But even the third one is just slightly more things to do, rather than it being, like, harder. Mm. Right? Like, and so, like... I really want to know from a design perspective, like, is this game this way on purpose to sort of work with these other storytelling themes we're doing?
Like, the only mechanic it all builds on is the combat.
Mm-hmm.
And that mostly comes down to, after you've been introduced to all the enemy types, like, okay, but now you have to fight eight of them.
Yeah.
So in order.
Yeah. Oh, here's a slightly better sword.
Whereas none of the other...
Slightly. Oh my god.
None of the other puzzle mechanics ever get... developed on.
Nothing really levels up against you.
Yeah.
In a meaningful way.
You're right. None of the individual puzzle elements get harder. They just get replaced. Like,
they get stacked on top of each other.
No, it's not even stacked on top of each other.
Because, like, once you leave Valrobin's area, you never see the little portal puzzles. Like,
yeah, and you do anymore. The rune thing a couple of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, later you do the faces, and it's very self-contained, and then you do, a couple of times you do the, I have to find the exact angle to repair the object, mm-hmm. which is usually stairs or a bridge or something.
Which to me feels way more like a, this is your psychosis physically manifesting.
Yeah.
Like, this thing isn't real until you look at it right.
Yeah.
Thing.
That was my favorite puzzle, was the find the angle. Because it felt the most intuitive.
Those ones were cool.
The first one I fucking sucked at.
Oh, really? The very last one's the one that where it's like...
The bridge?
The enormous room with the bridge in it.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. You didn't like that one?
Yeah, there was one segment in that one that, like, I felt was... it was that you needed to go walk out on the incomplete bridge mm-hmm. to see it, yeah. which there's no reason to fucking do that.
Right. Because right, the other ones don't train you to do that ever.
Yeah, yeah. And so I found that one really irritating.
Yeah, I think my biggest frustration isn't with the things we just said about these mechanics, but that it doesn't tell you about them.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, yeah. The first room where you're supposed to find the first rune on the wall.
Yeah, no.
And all your voice, it never demonstrates at any point, so like when I eventually found it and it was a shadow instead of like a thing I was supposed to find, I was yeah. like,
you just okay. have to find this shape somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's like the first time that you have to use the focus ability in the sword fighting,
mm-hmm.
and all the voices in your head just scream focus at you over and over.
But
and
no
over.
One's ever labeled that button focus.
Yeah, like, yeah.
No, they did.
I never saw any tooltip, and it was never yeah, explained like
it was, to me. It was a tooltip. Druth at one point tells you to focus when you're doing it during a puzzle, and it's the same button.
Right, right, but like...
So for me, that was very intuitive, but I can understand how you could...
So part of my problem with that is that I've been conditioned by this game already to not trust the voices in my head.
But that's not a voice in your head, that's Druth. Druth has never lied to you.
I didn't know that then.
He's still a supernatural voice.
Right, like come on. Like, the thing is I don't know who's real and who's not,
also
and that's very effective.
Also, focus is, like, a very vague and abstract thing you can tell someone to do.
No, again, I understand how you guys could not get it, but you're saying they didn't tell you, and I'm saying they did.
They did it
in a bad way, in the half-baked way that you're talking about.
The lack of on-screen indicators in this game
harms
my understanding of it, yes.
Yeah. Which you have to sort of push through it, I guess. But
when you get to that sword fight, you can't kill the enemy unless you use your focus ability.
Right.
And the way the game really makes sure that you can't miss it is the voice in your head just starts screaming the word focus over and over at you, and it's like, god damn, like,
yeah.
Like, I get that you have like a thing you're trying to do, but like, fuck this. Like,
And I take issue with you saying that the voices lie, because they don't. They do self-doubt, and they do the voices are your anxieties bubbling up, right?
Yeah.
And so, but they don't lie to you. They just say shit that's like you giving yourself like was it imposter syndrome? It's like you're not good enough. Blah blah blah.
Okay. Well, part of my issue is I already have that, so like, the game preying on that makes it worse. But I feel like there's a missed opportunity with that in those times where you're struggling. I feel like they could have easily built in like. They're not getting it. One of the voices should say something.
I mean, the voices usually do, but it's not always. It doesn't always land.
Right.
Right.
Right. So,
but that's not like it's hard. This is hard to do. No one's ever done this
yeah,
before.
No, absolutely.
I'm saying so. The reason I'm with it is I really sucked at the combat at first. I was really bad at it.
Hey, did you get a counter?
A what?
There's a counter. There's a Dark Souls style timing counter.
You mean parry.
Yeah, there's that in that game.
So,
I found out.
No, I did that. If you would, yeah. I did that a few times later on, but what I was going to say was there was a point where when I was actually in the part where you're wading through and there's the molten bodies everywhere and mm-hmm. you're actually in hell, and it's the sort of the point in the game where you first start fighting the really fast two axe guys that throw it, where everything clicked together and I was fighting two of those guys at once and I was just fucking destroying that guy.
And then
the voice in my head said, watch out behind you. And without thinking,
yeah.
I hit the block button,
yeah.
perfect parried, and killed both of them.
Yeah, there's things about the way the combat flows that are very cool when you get it and, like, super difficult when you don't.
Even when I got decent at the combat, I never really reached a point where I was enjoying it. Like, when I got to hell and you have to fight, like, fucking 20 dudes
it's a lot.
It's just, like, I couldn't stop thinking about the fact, like, I have fought every single one of these enemies before. I have fought them in medium quantities up till now, like... Don't you have something else for me here?
No.
And that's literally the enemies you fight for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and then the last boss is just boss rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't know. The game like sticks in weird places in a lot of ways for me, but I'm glad it exists.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I will never play it again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a cool game.
I also don't get the ending.
I think it's sequel bait, and the whole thing's a metaphor, which you have to remember. It's a metaphor for dealing with your own trauma. One thing is, I can guarantee that you guys didn't collect all of the stones.
Yeah, I realized I was. It literally, I got like halfway around the dial before I realized that it was indicating.
It was indicating which ones, like where you're missing it. So I got all the stones. And if you do that, you get an extra scene when you go through the portal.
Oh, fuck that.
Into the last room.
Fuck that. The fact that they don't even tell you that they're collectibles.
Right. Yeah, they don't tell you.
Fuck that.
Yep. I got him anyway. Where Druth tells you that that your father basically like sold your village out.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
That checks out.
Which feeds into the whole.
I had enough of the pieces that makes sense. The whole
theme of generational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So from your father you're receiving trauma, and from your mother you're receiving madness.
Right.
Right. And so there's that whole intergenerational thing.
Well, and you're receiving the trauma from your father because of the madness from your mother. Like, it's this whole, like...
Mm-hmm. But then also because he's a shitbag.
Yeah, no, like, it's all of it.
And, like, sold your family out to the... Sold everybody out. And is, like, the reason that your husband is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you coming to catharsis with that is sort of, like, you what you tell death, hell... When she stabs you, you say, you have no power over me. Like, you don't care.
Right, right. Like, the whole thing is a metaphor for the character processing her trauma while also still dealing with the other shit.
Mm-hmm. And then the voices stop, and then you walk away. And then it's like, yeah. I mean, and like...
That was my issue with it. It's like, that's not how this works. Unfortunately.
You don't get to beat up your own mental
illness. I don't get to fucking, like...
No, but
I've been in therapy for 2.5 years, and I've dealt with a lot, and I'm a lot better off for it, but it's not over.
I don't think that it's saying that you can beat up your illness. Because, again, the whole thing's a fucking metaphor,
right?
It's dealing with it.
Yeah.
And she dealt with it.
Yeah,
right?
That's fair.
And the way that that manifests through the gameplay is with us fighting, because that's what Ninja Theory knows how to do.
Yeah.
Which is not their fault.
Right.
But, like...
No, and I'm not like mad at the ending. It's just like there's parts of it that makes sense from that character's perspective, and then there's parts of it that bounce off of my own experience.
I'm mad at the ending because it's hidden behind collectibles.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was like 3 seconds where Druth says your dad sold you out. That's it.
Sure. But like, yeah, I walked away from that ending going, yeah, like, okay, that's the ending after. Yeah. Okay. Like
the ending's still the ending. You still get stabbed, and then she's dead on the ground.
Like, right.
Because. She has no power over you. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This game really effectively portrays and inflicts trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Both, I think, from design choices and from lack of design choices.
Yeah. I think lack of budget and time. Right?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have a publisher.
And so that's the interesting thing about this. When you told me that, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Because when I say, like, it's the best B game I've ever played,
it's the
there's
B game.
Definitely just things about this game that needed more time and money that they didn't have.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, so that it functions the way it does is awesome.
Yeah.
Like that they managed to bake enough of them enough that it works is cool. But also... The darkness, blindness sequence. There's this whole sequence where your sword's broken and your character is like kind of freaking out because you suddenly have no defense against all the bullshit you've been dealing with. And you have to like walk over to this tree where this sword that kills every man who carries it is buried in a tree. And you have to go through a bunch of trials of Odin and... get the sword out of the tree, and one of them is you go into the land of blindness, and there's all these, like, fucked up abomination monsters making a shitload of noise.
I mean, how do you think I felt? I did that in VR.
Yeah, no, like, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I never triggered one of them.
Oh, really?
Did you guys?
Me neither.
I got killed a shitload of times.
Okay, because the way I got close to them but moved slow led me to believe that maybe they're there to scare me without doing anything to me.
No, they'll kill you.
Okay, cool. Okay.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there were a couple sequences where I was like, I'm gonna run!
There's like all this doubt on this side, and I was just like, nah, they'll fucking kill you.
Then it never happened. It's it's like a whole thing.
Yeah. Is that one of those, you have to break after it moments?
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
That sequence was tough.
It's like the worst part of doing a Assassin's Creed... eavesdropping quest where you have to run on the rooftops. It's like the opposite of that, where it's like these radiuses you need to stay out of, except you can't fucking see anything.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the VR was really helpful because I was able to like turn where my head was facing and change like to be able to hear them coming. Mm-hmm. I think that was really helpful. The one that really was booty clenching for me was the one where you're mostly underwater and can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one that really got me because I have like claustrophobia, hydrophobia adjacent stuff with dark water. So like that was a little fun.
There's some amazing atmospheric shit they do in that game. Like the sequence where you have to go underwater with the torch. Mm-hmm. And then bolt.
Okay, so
yeah, fuck that.
The whole Fenris conceit where you're running from light to light, I was fine with it because it's all in her head. Because when you die from that, she just falls on the ground screaming. That's what happens there.
Okay, I never died, so it was real.
Oh, so I found a really cool glitch in the terrain where you could get stuck in the darkness. And it would only happen one out of every maybe four times. I went. It was a beam you have to duck under.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you duck under the beam to come out, you become stuck.
Neat.
And so I died there a lot. And I have no control over whether or not my guy gets stuck.
Yeah.
I ran into a number of...
You found some cool bugs,
I found some
like.
Interesting terrain geometry issues in the game. I fell through the world a few times.
I did it, yeah.
Yeah. I got a clip. I'll show you after.
That'd be great. There was a few times in the VR where I was able to maneuver the camera outside of the environment and look at the lay that the level was made.
Oh, sure.
Like that only happened three times, but I never ran anything in it as crazy as what.
Yeah, that one was really frustrating because it's you duck under the beam, go into a room, fight six dudes in a row.
Mm, yeah,
and then like killing them puts the blood on the floor to be a rune. So you get the rune, and then you have to leave that room, and then you get stuck, and Fafnir kills you, and you have to go into the room and fight the guys again to see the rune made out
of
blood.
So the checkpoint wasn't even after that sucks, man.
Yeah, it's got some bad checkpoints.
So that area, I did that whole area without staring at the door to get the glyphs first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was mad about that.
So what I was going to say is there's the part in the Fafnir where you have to, like, go under the grate. That grade is big enough for you to pass the
torch. Oh, for sure.
So she could have,
like,
sure.
I was like, you're gonna... I'm sitting there doing it, right? I'm like, you're gonna do the... Right? Right? No, why would you do it that way?
Just pass it through.
Of course the horror movie does it this way.
There's a lot of that in those environments.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, logs that block your path that, like, in no way block your path.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all in your head. Right?
Yeah. I hated that I had to stare at the door super hard. Because I did that multiple times, where you have to stare at the door to get the glyphs to show
up. You have
to
focus on it.
And then you'll literally be able to run through those rooms. You can interact with stuff and move it around, but you don't trigger anything.
Keenan, you have to dark wave at the door, too.
I understand now. But I literally did, like, that entire area with the dog in the dark. Like, I did literally two-thirds of those puzzles without anything triggering. So the reflection one, I literally, like, stared at over and over and was like, okay, I missed something, and had to go all the way back up, and, like, I finally got it and was like, oh, god damn it. Like, I missed the thing I've already done five times. This is dumb.
I really like the music in this game. Especially the last track. Like, so, when I'm doing, I killed those guys. Like, I knew that I was supposed to give up, and that's, like, how you end the game.
Wait, at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
It had to tear me down. I did not slow down.
No, but if you press buttons when she's down, she will get back up 100% of the time.
Uh-huh.
So it has to be your choice to give up. So yes, you did give up.
Okay, maybe I missed the timing because I was not doing that on purpose. Okay. But
but I was having so much fun killing them that I did it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Everything about this game, like, artistically is ridiculously cool. Like, the art, the sound, all the visuals, its use of this engine that was brand new at the time is amazing. Like, even by today's standards, this game's fucking beautiful.
The FMV.
The actual FMV used well and not in a campy way.
Dude, it was so good.
Well, the only reason it works, though, is because the only face in the game that you see, like, any amount of up close is Senua's.
Yeah.
And, like, her texture resolution is, like, way above the entire rest of the game. Right, and, like, her polygon count. So, like, when you see her alongside this FMV that also you don't get, you never get a clear look
at it. It's on a filter. It's transparency to little,
it's also, like illuminated by campfire
lights. Yeah.
It looked real good in the VR. It works
real well.
I was able to, like, lean in and, like,
But and then, like, literally, like, all the way into, like, the person who did the mocap and the acting did an amazing job, too.
She's got a bit of an acting face, Timothy Olyphant thing going on.
But...
where she bares her teeth a lot. Yeah. Like that, you know, whatever.
I think it worked for the character.
Yeah. But it was just, like, every single time.
And then, like, now that you've mentioned it, Owen, you're right. Like, the enemies don't have faces.
Well, and also you never get to be near their faces and look at them.
Right.
You know, not in any means. They're always running around the room or swinging swords at you, and they're wearing helmets.
Disintegrating into dust.
Yeah.
Turns out the afterlife is full of, like, a lot of dudes wearing cow skulls. mostly cow skulls.
Like, literally the only thing that falls apart in this game were the game mechanics at certain points. Yeah. And the way I was expected to execute them without being told are like, my only actual frustrations, but it happened enough that I'm like, ugh, this game at times, like, and the combat is, like, rote, like, there's so many things about this game where it's like, I know we can do this, so we're doing it this way, and then there's no chance taken with those mechanics, there's no, like...
Yeah, nothing about that combat feels new or groundbreaking.
Right, right.
Like, but it was really solid. I had a lot of fun with it after it clicked for
me. Once I got it, I was having fun with it, and that sword.
But yeah. I mean, sword, I was very bored with it once I got a grasp on it. Mm-hmm.
Once I'd figured out that I could counter things, I started trying to find all the counters. It's really, like, the only thing that kept me going on the new enemy types. Because I can play Batman and not get touched by 100 guys. I'm good at those combat systems, it turns out. But, it's sort of weird because, like, those things frustrate me, but everything about this game, like, deserves the praise it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from an artistic standpoint, this game is a fucking incredible achievement, and I just kind of didn't like playing parts of it.
It reminded me a lot of Lisa.
Yeah.
I know that that's... Yeah. I don't think I've played another Ninja Theory game.
I mean, isn't it mostly just Ninja Gaiden?
I don't know. Is it? Do you know?
Yeah. I've never played any Ninja Theory games.
Yeah, so I just wanted to put that out there, talking about the creator of this game. Do you guys have anything else to say about this game?
I don't know, not really. I don't like... There's something about, like, the way it winning a BAFTA gets held up that really rubs me the wrong way, and it's not...
Oh, yeah, I did want to have this discussion.
It's not that, like, yeah. I don't... It's not that, like, I don't like this game, and that's why I think it shouldn't get a BAFTA. I don't like that, like, yes, this video game, this is the one that is art.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about a serious issue.
The delineation there is frustrating.
And it is beautiful. It's like... look at the mud. Look at her face. Look at the you know...
Interjection. Quake is beautiful.
Yeah, like, I... Yeah, I don't have anything, like, super insightful to say about it, but
it's worth mentioning.
I just don't like it because I feel like it's like video, like it's needing the video games to be art on the terms of people outside video games,
and it's a simplistic, mechanically enough game,
yeah,
that BAFTA people can play and finish it.
Yeah, like
it's frustrating in that we are incredibly accepting of all bad play styles and the terrible games we played and everything else, but this is the one that's on the pedestal.
So, like, right? Like a number of years ago when my parents lived in Washington, D.C., there was a video games as art display at the National Portrait Gallery. And I went there with my family, and they had, like Heavy Rain.
Okay.
On display, and
Heavy Rain is terrible.
These games. Not that this game is very much like Heavy Rain, but like I feel like it's being celebrated for the same reasons Heavy Rain is. Where it's like Heavy Rain's about personal relationships, and it looks wonderful, and it's about personal, you know, and also like games like Flower. Like, look. Video games are more than just rocket launchers and power-ups. In this game, you are a simple flower in the
it's
wind.
Like, it's like the difference between like people like, oh yeah, like Citizen Kane, that's art.
Yeah.
But like the Doom movie.
Yeah.
This is not art. It was like, no, or like that's
Pulp
art.
Fiction will never be art.
And it's like, know? No, dude, that's art.
Yeah.
And video games is art. I have two stories to tell if you're done.
Yeah, go for it.
So one, I was sitting around with my coworkers and we were coming up with theme days for summer break planning. Mm-hmm. And they were like, let's do art day. And I was like, video games are art.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it out there. And everyone just kind of like, there was this silence that told me that literally no one in the room agreed with me. Even the people who play video games.
Nice.
And it was like, man, that sucks. Because, yeah. Like I was saying, Quake is art.
Yeah.
But also this game is art.
Well, and
But we shouldn't be separating the two is
just like,
my thing.
Just like the way you describe movies, right? There's highbrow and there's lowbrow, but they're still art.
They're both art.
They're both art.
Right. Right. And both should be celebrated as art.
Right.
One can be bad, one can be good, but you shouldn't... There shouldn't be this delineation between... But like, you shouldn't have to be pandering to this idea of what art is.
Yeah.
Right? And like, I hate the term fine art, because it's like... You know, this kid fucking around with clay, the fourth grader. He's technically doing fine art because he's doing sculpture, but, like, how's that better than Quake? Right? but at the same time, that's the way it's viewed.
And I think we should also mention, like, all awards shows are bullshit. Forever.
Yeah.
Right? Because they all already have these constructs of what is and isn't
in
their fields in a way that's super frustrating in the conversation we're having. Right? You can't put up fucking Into the Spider-Verse for Best Picture because it's animated, right? Like, you can't...
And it's genre.
Right, right, but, like...
Superhero movies don't win Academy Awards. They do not.
But my point is, like, there's already all these dumb built-in rules to awards shows
that
increases the problem we're talking about, right?
And then the second story I was going to say was I don't know where I ran across this, but it was some comedian who was saying, video games are the only art form that, like, gatekeep is not the word he used, but, like... shutter you off from themselves if you are not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, a book isn't, like...
There's an execution.
Isn't halfway through, like, what are the major themes of this book so far?
This is, like, something I brought up in our Lisa episode, is it's, like, I think it's very difficult combat, or like, the way it forces you to replay things with its Raven save point stuff. Like, is a huge point against that game, because it's like if you had a movie that had fire alarms that came on if you didn't pay close enough attention to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was active aggravation to me. Like,
yeah, no.
Even if it does have this, like, intended effect down the road, I don't think is, like, a especially interesting or compelling mechanic to me.
The difference between a video game and a theme park ride is that I can grow up and go on that theme park ride. Right? Mm-hmm. I can be tall enough for that fucking ride eventually.
Like, me, Owen, I'm never gonna beat Hotline Miami.
Right, right. As a gamer, there are things that I will never overcome.
Yeah.
Right? There are things that I will never overcome, and depending on the game, I'm not allowed to finish that game.
But that's okay.
It's not a problem, but that's the personal side of what you're talking about, is that there are some games I know I will never finish, and then therefore I don't even try. Like,
I always think I like the idea of difficulty as aesthetic, and when the rubber actually comes to the road, like, I don't think I care for it.
Yeah. I dig the concept and the use of it, but I don't like most of those games.
Yeah.
I think that there is room for real triumph in those spaces.
Absolutely.
Where the game, but it's very, very difficult because there's this thin strip of land that lives right between difficulty and, like, just tremendously frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fucking land there, it's so good. Oh my god.
It needs to feel achievable even when you're struggling, and that's super hard to do.
It's like, I was reading this book that's ostensibly, like, guide to GMs. It's like, players don't like winning. Players like winning after they've had a limb removed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like, they want to, the players of the video game, they want to win by the skin of their teeth. They don't want to win easily.
Right.
Right, so
the Superman storytelling rule is still in play. It's no fun if you always win.
Yeah.
There needs to be a struggle. We're built for that. Like,
I feel like but
the struggle can't be too hard.
I feel like that's a really good note to end our discussion of Senua's Sacrifice on. Speaking of the exact opposite of Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, or maybe not, Kanan.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Okay.
Oh, I should mention, before that you jump into wrestling, we're restructuring the Not Real Game Awards into something completely different, because after editing the 2.5 hours that was the 2018 drinking game, I now hate them and have massive problems with them, so we'll come back.
We've discovered some issues with the framework.
There's some issues, which were that particular scab, the edges of it were opened enough by our discussion of changing Todd Howard to Stephen Molyneux that I had to rip the whole thing off. The entire scab, and now we're, that wound
needs... We've realized it's problematic in some ways, and we're working on replacing it.
So, anyway, wrestling.
Wrestling is art. I meant to say that before. Everything is art discussion.
Absolutely is.
Yeah, I went to an arts high school where for the first quarter of freshman year we discussed what art was, and the answer was everything. Because everyone kept coming up with cogent reasons why something we thought wasn't art was art. So you learn to let go and allow everything to be art. But anyways... But
once you let performance...
It's done.
Everything is performance.
It's done, yeah. So, there's a bit of a story to what I'm trying to get to with wrestling, and I apologize. But...
You have 90 seconds.
Cody Rhodes... Cody Rhodes is a second-generation wrestler.
And he painted a picture.
And he left WWE 2 years ago... 2.5 years ago, to try and go make a name for himself in an environment that wasn't actively stifling him. So he leaves, and he goes and he does everything he ever wanted to. He made a list and put it on Twitter and got everything he wanted about things he wanted to go do in the indies. And 2 years later, he's done it all, and he's kind of bored.
And Alexander wept for there are no
what are the things that exist? Is it like give a suplex to a man in an alligator?
No, like he had people he wanted to wrestle and places he wanted to work and things like that. Like oh, here's the things I couldn't do when I was there that I want to do now. And he like kills half that list in like 3 months. Like people were like, hell yeah, come here and do that. Hell yeah, come here and do that. Like,
yeah.
Like so he basically goes on this like giant pilgrimage out in the world to prove he's the best wrestler, to fuck you Vince, like, you know, do his thing. And
did you just fuck you Vince?
Fuck you Vince. Yeah, like he's
fuck
pointing.
You,
like,
but not fuck you Vince.
Yeah, no,
it was wrong finger. That's weird.
This is great radio.
look, okay.
They're making hand gestures.
I'm preparing myself for the corporate messaging already. So he and these other two guys who have been like super king shit tag team on the indies get together, and they start a company with the family that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. They ran a huge show last May. It sold out in like 10 fucking minutes. It's this whole ridiculous thing, and people are hungry for another company in wrestling.
Yeah, but like, which one of them was the person who actually shot JFK? And which one of them has Bigfoot in their basement?
So, literally the only thing I know about the Jacksonville Jaguars I've learned from watching The Good Place.
Excellent.
Which is that they suck?
They do. They suck. But basically, when you own an NFL team, you have a lot of money, right? Sure. And because of the NFL's ridiculous structure, everyone gets an equal share of everything, even when they don't contribute. It's very odd. Anyways, so these guys are like, we're going to start a wrestling company. We're going to start our own company with blackjack and hookers. And they start signing wrestlers with insurance and guaranteed pay rates, and they're paying the men and women the same, and they're, like, doing all of these things in the labor industry that is wrestling that are like, hey, let's unfuck this 60-year-old thing that hasn't ever moved.
Okay, so what's the stupidest thing that happened in wrestling?
The stupidest thing that happened in wrestling is that The Undertaker doesn't work at WWE anymore, and he's going to one of their events, and I have no idea what's going on.
That's awesome.
But that context needed to be there for me to say that.
For him.
Yeah. Wrestling's real fucking weird right now.
It always was.
No, but like, everything's on the table in a way that it wasn't a minute ago.
Nikki, you get to talk more because you had a games that should bang.
I had a games that should bang.
Thanks, Nikki Jakey.
I want the Uber Paradox game, is what I've decided to say. I started playing EU4 the other day because I really wanted to get in some trade war bullshit with some countries. And I succeeded pretty well for a long time, and then someone was like, you got a lot of money there, and came and kicked my teeth in. Like you do in those games. So then I was like, that's stupid, I'm gonna go play Crusader Kings. And then I immediately realized I wanted a ton of mechanics from the one game in the other game, and I can't have it, and I need it.
If only there was some way to mod these games.
Yeah, or like, I could just play Stellaris. I think it's pretty much got all of it.
Probably just play Stellaris. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. Doesn't have the. You can't make super babies in Stellaris.
Do you know about tall whales?
What?
In CK.
Tall whale. So you don't mean the animal, you mean the country.
Yeah, the animal country whales.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
So you have your leader. And
Matt's
you,
opinions on whales do not equal the shows.
You change it to, I think it's pointed, and then you have your leader be like a math genius who's only good at math. And you have like the minimum amount of provinces, and you just do that. But you have so much money that you can just hire all the mercenaries Nobody else can have them.
Yep.
And then you have an enormous army, but you only have like 5 provinces, but you run the entire world.
Yeah, no, like you by proxy own everything.
Yeah, because you're right next to England, so you get all the money. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so...
There's some real goofy shit that happens in those games.
Crusader Kings is awesome.
Yep.
What are we playing next week, Kenan?
Oh, yeah. I decided, after hearing about it for a year and a half, that I should play the Titanfall 2 campaign, so we're doing that.
Deception.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's gonna be good.
I've heard a lot about that game.
A lot of cool things going on in there, I heard.
It's the apex of first-person shooters.
You suck.
Alright, so, where can they find us?
At Bad Playstyle on Twitter.
And badplaystyle@gmail.com.
What should they send us?
Stuff.
We still got game codes, y'all.
Thoughts. Yeah. Thoughts, mm-hmm. responses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want a game code, email us. We'll send you a game code.
We got game codes, y'all.
If we used words that made you uncomfortable, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah. We'll try and adjust.
Yeah.
We're the good kind of straight white males.
We're always interested in trying to fix it. Being better.
No, we're not.
We try to fix it. We try.
Yeah. All right. I'm interested in being better than everyone else. Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Now, your favorite part of the show, the best part of the show, it's Sam Fisher Versus. And this time, an all Matt, all the time affair. These guys don't even need to talk.
You got it all worked out?
No, I mean, I get to set the scene.
Okay.
I think that Sam Fisher's wife was slain in a Viking raid, and he needs to enter hell with the voices that haunt him.
Okay, but so if he shoots a dude wearing a cow skull, does he run out of ammo?
No, here's the thing.
Like, is it a magic gun?
Here's the thing, is that hell broke his gun halfway through his journey,
okay,
and he needs to pull a new one out of his tree.
A USB match out of a tree.
But yeah, no, I don't think he runs out of bullets. But I think that Sam kind of loses it.
Really?
I don't think Sam's good at dealing with, like, because here's the thing about the sinuous sacrifice journey is that you're being forced to confront these traumas and psychoses and things of these nature. And I don't think that because that's the thing, Sam's got this shell, right?
Oh, for sure.
This psychological shell where he's like, killing people's fine. It's okay. It's whatever. Right? Yeah. But if you crack that shell open, you find the milky, creamy nougat of a baby boy in there that he falls apart into his cream, and that's on the floor.
So, like, third Splinter Cell game, Sam's daughter dies.
Right.
They tell Sam, your daughter's dead. Sam's solution is to go play the game where he works with a terrorist organization as a double agent. And you play that whole game where you're literally playing both sides because Sam's a little loose because his daughter got killed.
So Sam loses, is what I'm saying.
And then 2 games later, Sam's daughter comes back to life, and Sam's solution is, I'm going to kill all of you for telling me my daughter was dead.
So
yeah, Sam definitely loses.
Yeah, that scans with me.
Yeah.
Like, Sam loses.
I got no bones to pick with that, but that all makes sense.
Also, Sam's been on a hot streak, and I want to be the one to end it.
I think psychological trauma and Norse gods can take Sam down.
It's because a lot of video games feature violence, and Sam is a high-level operator. And so, like, yeah, of course he just fucking kills people.
Like, I don't think he has problems with the combat section. I think he straight up stumbling blocks on either Surt or Valravn, depending on which one he does first.
Yeah.
Like, if he does, he gets through the one, but he's like having a hard time. And also, he does the second one, and he's like,
there's no sneaking through any of that game. No. Like, his primary skill is gone.
The blind area.
Of
Okay, that's but does he even get there?
No, Sam, right? Like, Sam didn't even get there. He didn't even get there.
I'm just saying, like, it's one of the trials is sneaking past a bunch of monsters.
God damn it! Now I want that game where it's Lambert yelling at him instead of I want Dennis Haysbert yelling at me.
What is it? Do a Dennis Haysbert impression. And talk about like Odin.
Allstate? I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Allstate, Odin, Thor.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Yeah.
Music is composed by my good friend Benjamin Busey, and you can find more of his music at soundcloud.com/BucciBay, which is spelled BucciBae.
I thought it was pronounced Bucky.
Hello, friendly neighborhood editor Matt here, just letting everybody know that we have an extensive back catalog of games for you to check out that we've played for the podcast, and if in the future you have a game that you'd like us to play, let us know, because we're totally open to suggestions. I hope you enjoy the show.